I'm going to just read for the sake of time one verse, and it'll be just, we'll just take it as a text. Start there. Judges chapter 16, verse number 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sereth, whose name was Delilah. You may be seated. May the good Lord add his blessings to the reading of the scripture. I was thinking in one way, sometimes I like to have sermons when it's Youth Sunday and the Lord allows me to preach it. And I like to have sermons sometimes that will be directed toward the youth. Sometimes it's not meant that way. Matter of fact, all the Word of God, whether it's young or old, is for everybody. How many say amen to that? And God knows the different circumstances. He knows each heart here this morning. He knows your life, what your life consists of. He knows what you need. But as I'm thinking about the youth, the young, and the old today, amen, that could have been several places. We could have went in the Word of God and could have preached about the youth. But I want you to pay close attention. I've seen some stuff through, the story of Samson to Delilah today that maybe God's just refreshed my mind with, maybe things I've never seen before. And I hope it'll probably be a blessing to you. I guess we're going to just give a warning to the young and old alike today through the stories of Samson and Delilah. Now, you say stories. Well, I'm going to give you about 3 points, maybe. This is the Lord to lead me this morning. This story is a story, their story of Samson and Delilah, just by the way of introduction, is a story of love. It's a story of lies. And it's a story of loss. Can I get an amen? I believe this story ought to be read. It ought to be studied. I believe it ought to be taken to heart. Their story does not teach us lessons about genuine love. This story does not teach us lessons about romance. Boy, now I need your help this morning. Some people say, now, we don't need to get a little bit. Listen, love, hey, if you'll read the Song of Solomon, that's the greatest love story you'll see in the Word of God. But this message this morning, and the message in this story doesn't teach us genuine love or genuine romance. But I believe it teaches us the dangers of getting too close to the enemy. That's what it teaches us. I mean, we've got married couples here today. We've got unmarried couples. When I say couple, I mean they're dating and they're unmarried. We've got two that's getting back, four. Well, two couples, four people that's getting married pretty soon. Amen. And wanting to do that. You heard one invitation this morning. But we also have single people. Amen. We've got young people. And I believe that this story this morning, I believe will help everybody if we'll listen to it. But it's a danger. It teaches the danger of getting too close to the enemy. It's a story of deception. It's a story of greed. It's a story of lust. And at the end, it's a story of destruction. And their story, hey, it's a constant warning to those who mess with sin. I'm telling you something. You can't mess with sin. Young people, old people alike, you cannot mess with sin without consequences being to that sin. This is a story that will remind us, amen, that sin's deceptive. And by the way, it reminds us that, yes, there is pleasure in sin. But the Bible says it's only for a season. There are pleasure in doing wrong. But the consequences after the wrong is done, amen, does not even compare to the pleasure that you had while you in that sin. That means with the preacher. I said I'm going to give you some stories. I'm going to, first of all, the first point this morning would be, amen, we see the story of love. I want us to look at verse number 4 and 5 again here in chapter 16. And he said, it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sereth, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lie, by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And I'll get to that in just a minute. There's a story of love, I said. Samson loved a woman. We're told that he loved a woman. Now, over the course of his life, I believe that, this was the third woman that we have record of that Samson, amen, would have been with. Now, first, there was the woman of Timnah, Judges chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Amen. The second was a harlot. That was in Gaza. How many remember that? First verse of Judges. You want to read there? In chapter 16, verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. So there was a woman. There was a woman from Timnah. There was a woman, a harlot in Gaza. Amen. And then there was a woman called Delilah. And that's the text that we're in today. They may have been others. But only God gives us three, amen, that we recognize in the lifespan there of Samson. Now, from the text that mentions these women, it seems that there's three, all three of these, it seems that they were Philistine women. It appears that Samson had an attraction to women. Can I get an amen there? That should have been off limits to him, period. Especially him being a man of God, a Nazarite Jew. Can I get an amen there? Should have been off limits to him. It appears that he has a problem with lust. Somebody say amen. How many's with me? Especially not just because he was a man. But because he was a man of God, he should have avoided that. Somebody help me. Of all costs. He should have fought against it. It seems that Samson's life was categorized by series of sexual relationships. Let me say amen to that one. No doubt this was a sin. It's always a sin. Outside of marriage. And no doubt it's a snare. It was a snare in his life. And it hindered his ministry being a judge in Israel. It hindered him. The many preachers that I've seen, that I had friends as preachers, that have failed by this sin of sexual misconduct, that had the power of God on them. You bear with me. I know you're quiet. That's good. The same's true with the people in our day. The Lord gives us sexual desires. Say amen. He gives us sexual desires. Amen. And they're good when they're exercised in the proper context. That sexual desire is good when it's done in the bonds and bounds of marriage. Now say amen to that one. You know, that's something we don't like to talk to our kids about. But I'm going to tell you, don't let the school system teach your kids what's right and what's wrong. Amen. Listen, in other words, any sexual expression, listen, it crosses a line into sin. Some people say, well, I don't have to have sex with somebody for it to be sin. Any sexual expression. Oh boy, it's got quiet on me. Bible says if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Bible said out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Come with me. If you talk lewdly, you talk loosely, you know what that is? That's sin that's already in your heart. And it's a coming out of the flesh. Can I get an amen there? It crosses the line into sin. God wants people to be sexually pure. How many will say amen to that? I mean, you talk about a society that's sex crazy. We're in a society that's sex crazy. I mean, and you've heard me preach about it. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. I've been accused that I didn't know what a fornication meant. I've had women in their 70s tell me I didn't know what the word fornication means. I got news for you. They just don't want to know what the definition is. All God's people said. Fornication is sex outside of marriage. Adultery, amen, is sex inside of marriage without your spouse. Now, God's people said, amen. He said, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Matthew 5:27-28. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. I wonder how many men, married men, that is sitting in here this morning that you may have not, amen, essentially touched another woman, but you have in your heart. You're just as guilty. I need help. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. We're told that Samson loved Delilah. Ain't that what the Bible says? This was not said. Now, I didn't find it. If you can find it, I'll correct myself and we'll go on. That's not said about the woman he took to wife. It's not said about the harlot from Gaza. Amen. But in the case of Delilah, it seems that something seemed to, she touched his heart somehow. The heart of Samson, and it appears that he probably truly loved her. I don't know. The Bible says he loved her. We got people today don't know what love is. Amen. They don't know what love is. They're getting married because they say they love them, and really it's lust. Help me. We got little boys and girls are going together and say, I love them. We got them. Hey, my generation, if I said me and Angie is going out, we're going out. Now they say we're going out. I said, where are you going? No, I don't mean we're going anywhere. We're just going out. Amen. Somehow in their heart it touched. Samson's heart was touched. He may have truly loved her. Look there, verse number 17, that he told her all his heart. Now listen, something happened to Samson. He must have trusted something, amen, with Delilah. He must have loved something, or he would have never, I think that it all amounted to, he just told too much to the devil. He gave the most valuable secrets of his heart to this woman named Delilah. The fact that Samson loved Delilah doesn't excuse him for what he done and for his sin. Now, Samson sinned because he is guilty of fornication. Amen. How many believe there's a lack of morality? I was struggling on preaching this message this morning. Amen. But Brother Keith brought something over in his lesson this morning. He brought the word morality out. And the Lord said, you're going to have to preach this message. Amen. So that's what I'm trying to do. How many believe there's a lack of morality in our world? I'm talking about even among so-called, Christians themselves. The rate of fornication, they tell me, and adultery. Now, I want you to listen to me. The rate of fornication and adultery in the church are about the same level as it is in the world. You mean to say that again? The statistics they say that it's among Christian churches, the rate of fornication and adultery is just about the same rate, amen, in the church as it is in the world. That is sad, people. That shouldn't be. Can I get a greater amen? Those, amen, who know the Lord should be careful to keep themselves clean and polluted from immoral. Amen. In this godless world, we're to be separated. Young people, did you listen to me? There is no telling these little girls and these little boys. It may not be, they may not see much of it at home. There's no telling what they're seeing sexual. Amen. I can only imagine how bad it was when I was in school 20-something years ago.
Hey, you mamas and daddies, and you made a comment about what they're seeing and what they're hearing. I'm telling you, sex is in the elementary schools. Don't think it ain't in first grade. Don't think that it ain't in kindergarten. Hey man, listen, it's there. And what these little boys and girls has to hear. And it stirs their curiosity. What these little boys and girls has to see. That they've never seen before. And it stirs their curiosity. I'm just with the preacher. But I want you to know, you young people, you need to listen this morning. You young people, we got little boys probably saying, oh, a girl is gross. You live a little bit longer, you won't start saying that. Say amen. Amen. And you live, they probably got some little girls saying, oh, them boys are gross. Amen. You live a little bit longer, you won't be saying that. Caden's heart's already stopped one time. I hope you didn't care for me telling that. You didn't care, did you, sister? He was asked a question about a good one of his little girlfriends. Watch Caden, he's hiding behind his daddy going. Shake his head. Amen. Asked him if his heart fluttered. Somebody asked him if his heart fluttered when he seen that little girl. He said, no. It stopped. It just stops. Amen. How old's Caden? 5-year-old. But you know what? God made us that way. I need an amen. Whether you think that's right or wrong, God made it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Did you hear me? God made us that way, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there is a drawing line. I'm saying, young people, you can wait. You can wait until you get married. You say, oh, but everybody else is doing it. Hey, everybody else ain't you. You can wait till you get married to be sexually active. Hey, you single adults, you can keep your bodies as temples of the Holy Ghost. You, amen, married couples, you listen to me. You can be faithful to your spouse, both mentally and physically. Say amen to that. Amen. God, help us to strive for that goal. If you fell in that area, God can give you strength. And God can forgive you. Somebody say amen to that. Delilah, Samson loved Delilah, but don't you notice something else? Delilah loved wealth. Now listen, while Samson loved Delilah, she apparently didn't love him. Now, how is that, preacher? The Bible says the lords of the Philistines, see, they come to Delilah there in verse number 5 and offer 1,100 pieces of silver. Huh? To discover and tell them where Samson's power lied. You don't think that was tempting to her? Let me say amen. Listen, the Bible says they wanted her to entice him. The word entice is, one said, is to be simple or to be gullible. Now, in other words, it has an idea of acting innocent. Amen. Acting like an innocent person to deceive somebody else. Has anybody ever heard or seen that done? Somebody acting like they're innocent just to deceive somebody else? See, these men want her to play dumb and do everything that she can to extract Samson, amen, of the secret of what his power, where his power lied. They want to exploit his weakness. See, we've already come to the conclusion his weakness was women. And they wanted to exploit his weaknesses for women to their advantage. Delilah's willing to go along. 1,100 pieces of silver, amen, would be her. She'd be a wealthy woman, wouldn't she? In today's money, they tell me it would be worth in the neighborhood of around $750,000. That's what one said. She didn't care about Samson. How many would agree with that statement? Let me agree that she did not care about Samson. You listen to me, preacher, but what? Now you just listen to the remainder of the message. Amen. She only used him to get what she wanted, to get rich. Amen. That was her, hey, glory to God, that was her golden goose. Somebody say amen. All she had to do was play her part well. Amen. And she'd walk away with her reward. Now, what a picture of the ways of sin. Amen. This woman. Now listen, I'm talking about Delilah. Amen. Turns out to be. She represents exactly how Satan works in our lives. The Lord doesn't want us falling into traps laid by modern day Delilahs. By the devil, he'll enable us to take those escape. I've quoted this scripture. There hath been no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, flee from idolatry.
Amen.
There's a story of love. Samson loved Delilah. Delilah didn't love him that well. Now there's a story of lies. In verses 6 through 14, and you can take time to read those yourself. Amen. Neither Samson nor Delilah, now you listen carefully, was honest in their relationship. They wasn't neither honest. And I'm going to tell you something. Joy, Christy, Chris, Savannah, anybody else in here thinking about getting married, listen to me. And you married couples, the only way any relationship can survive and thrive is you're going to have to build upon truth and honesty in your marriage. You may say that again? Truth and honesty. How many would say that Samson's lies was senseless in a way? First of all, if he was a man of God, he shouldn't have been lying.
Amen.
Amen. When Delilah begins to ask Samson about the source of his strength, you know what he does? He plays with her thinking.
Amen.
Have you ever caught anybody trying to play with you thinking? He plays with her thinking that he's far smarter than she'll ever be. See, he's a strong judge of Israel. Huh? Amen. And she's a weak woman. Oh, by the way, they say Delilah means feeble or pining one. So he thinks it'll be fun to toy with her a little bit. To have her try to trap him. He's confident in the notion that he's stronger than anything or anyone. We got any men? Noel? Don't answer that. Amen. So what happens, preacher? Say, he's confident. There's no way that she can harm me. There's no way she can get to me. Nothing. And I want you to notice how he tries to deceive her. Verses 7 through 10. He says, bind me with 7 green withes. Bind me. Take these 7 green withes and bind me. Well, now you know the story. They bind them. He breaks the withes as they were just a thread touched by a piece of... You took a match and breaks them off. Simple this morning. But then verse number 10, Delilah confronts Samson with his lies and begs him to tell her the truth. All right, 11 and through 13, it says, bind me fast with new ropes. Give me new ropes. Bind me fast. Green ropes were very strong, they tell me. As an ordinary man, he cannot break those ropes. But again, Samson shows no disregard to his enemies. So what did he do? They had already seen what he'd done in Judges chapter 15. He could do with some things with ropes and break some in Judges chapter 15, verses 12 through 15. And his own people, amen, had bound him with ropes and delivered him to the Philistines. You know what he's doing? He's toying with Delilah and the Philistines. Delilah binds him with the ropes. He breaks those ropes as a man would break a piece of thread. How many say that's a pretty strong man? And Delilah confronts Samson and demands that he tell her the truth. Tell me, where your strength lies. How many's listening to the preacher? So He takes the seven green whips. He takes the new ropes. And then verses 13 and 14, what does he say? He said, weave us the seven locks of my head with the web.
Amen.
That means listen. Weave us the seven locks of my head with the web. I ain't never really given that much thought. What did he mean by with the web? Well, somebody, amen, that I was studying behind said that this could have been a loom of some kind to weave the hair into. I don't know. But he said if she does, he'll lose his strength. Now notice that he's getting closer and closer to revealing where his strength lies. See, it starts out, bind me with the green whips. Bind me with the new ropes. Bind me with these things. All right, now he's getting to where his strength lies. Now he knows that if he cuts off the locks of his hair, he knows that's where his strength lies. Hey, by the way, well, I'll get to that in a minute. How many is with me? I'm trying to, the Lord's going to show us something. Amen. He's getting dangerously close to the truth. You know that's the same way it is with sin. Some of you would stand right here and say, I'd never do that. I'd never allow myself to do that. But you know what you're doing? You're playing closer. And you're playing closer. And you're living more dangerous. You'll get up a little bit further. Amen. And, hey, and then when you've not overcome to that temptation, you know what you'll do? You won't step back from it. The devil will make you step a little bit forward to it. You know why? That's the same way, amen, Samson done. He should have never got to where his height, where his strength lies. And he moved closer and closer to that. You listen to what I'm telling you. He's playing a dangerous game and he's getting ready to get burned. And Delilah does as he says. Samson simply gets up and walks away after he puts it in that loom, that whatever it was. Like he was carrying nothing at all. How many would say he was guilty of playing with sin? He knew where his source lied. And he entered that deadly game with Delilah. Now listen to me. People play with sin. I done said it. They go as far that they can without actually crossing the line into the forbidden, they'll get right up as close to it as they can. How many's with me? I could ask people to raise your hand, and there's people in here that's probably done that. Can say, I have done that, preacher. But they think they can get right up to the line, it won't affect them. I go, you got another thought coming. Most people think they can control their sin. Most people say, well, I can do this and it won't overtake me. 9 times out of 10, the people you call your friends that's not a Christian, and you think I can lead them to the Lord, I may have an impact on their life, and you stay around them, you know what will happen? 9 times out of 10, they'll draw you down to their level. It's simple this morning. Some of you need to stay away from the wrong people. I'm going to have to go. Listen. What? Temptation, there's a way to be made from escape from it. I read you that scripture. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. James 1:14-15. What does drawn away mean, preacher? To lure like game is lured from its hiding place. What do you say, preacher? Enticed is figurative to lure by bait. You know what the devil does? See, each of us has natural lust. And cravings for sin. There is nobody in here, I don't care how saved you are, can't say there's a natural craving for lust than sin somewhere. In your body. There ain't nobody say they can't. Preacher, but no, you're in the flesh. And you are, there is a craving for something. There is a lure for something in your life. And but you listen to what the preachers are saying this morning. So, preacher, I've got those natural lusts and those cravings for sin. That's that fleshly appetite that's within us, and it'll control us if we'll allow it. And you know what the devil does? He focuses in on those things in your life. The Bible teaches us that within our hearts dwell the root of all sinfulness. Mark 7:21-23, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye. You think somebody giving you an evil eye ain't a sin? Blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. How many remembers the radio personality Paul Harvey and the rest of the story? Everybody, how many remember him? I remember him, man. Paul Harvey. Does he ever come on WBRM anymore? I don't ever hear him much anymore. Anyway, and the rest of the story. Paul Harvey gives an illustration of how an Eskimo kills a wolf. He gave an illustration one time, Joe, and here's what the illustration was, a story. And the account, it's a grizzly tale. Now you listen to me, I'm going to try to hurry. And it gives us how sin is self-destructive, the self-destructiveness of the nature of sin. First, the Eskimo coats his knife blade with animal blood and allows it to freeze. Then he adds another layer of blood and another layer of blood until the blade's completely concealed by frozen blood. Next, the hunter fixes his knife in the ground. He goes up and he fixes his knife. He places that knife in the ground with the blade sticking up. Amen. And it's there where the wolf can get to it. Now listen to me. And when a wolf follows his sensitive nose to the source of the scent and discovers that bait, he licks it. And tasting that fresh frozen blood, now you listen to me, he begins to lick faster. And the more he licks, amen, his craving for that blood continues, amen, to lick more feverishly and vigorously, lapping the blade until the keen edge of that blade is fire. Feverishly now, harder and harder the wolf licks and licks the blade in that cold Arctic nightmare. Now you listen to me. Because of his craving for blood, that wolf does not realize. Now you listen to me. That razor sharp sting. Every time he laps that, that appetite for that blood is so strong, he keeps a licking that blade. And he's numb to the sting of that blade while it's a cutting his tongue. Amen. And listen, he don't realize the instant at which that thirst has been satisfied from his own warm blood. As he licks, he's a cutting himself and he's a tasting his own blood. Therefore, you say, well, what's the more of the story? His appetite, amen, for that blood, and he craves more until he finds in the morning he's dead. Ain't that a good picture of sin? That's a good picture of sin. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It's a fearful thing for people can be consumed by their own lust. If that wolf knew he was going to die, he wouldn't have done that. But the craving of his own lust. Amen. Instead of playing with sin, we should be like Joseph and walk, run from it. Delilah uses, I want to look at verses 15 and 16. We'll have to try to hurry. 16. Verse 15 and 16. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? In other words, he wouldn't tell her. Amen. How many's ever heard this old thing? If you love me, you would. You little girls, knock their teeth down their throat. In the name of Jesus, take your fist and go, pow! Bust every tooth out of their head. In the name of Jesus. I need an amen. You said, preacher, you can't say that. And sure you can. A lot of people need to just learn to say no to the devil. Amen. We're afraid we're going to offend somebody, hurt somebody's feelings. Well, if you love me, you'll do it. She said, hey, How can you say that? How can you say you love me? I love thee and treat me the way you're treating me. You know what the Bible implies here in these verses? That she begged him. She pleaded with him. She probably whined and cried day after day. Tell me where it lies. And you know what? After long persistence, it wore Samson down. That's the way sin does. How sin works. If you allow ourselves to be placed under that pressure of temptation, don't never, if somebody in here being tempted by something this morning, whatever it is, you say, I can keep controlling it. No, you can't. Get away from that temptation. Get away from it. You'll be worn down like Delilah. Sin is relentless. It's aggressive. It's persistent. It hammers away at our resistance. Amen. Until we give into its advantages. Listen. When we do, we'll be like Samson. We'll lose. You ask the girl who's lost her purity to the boy who said, if you love me, you will. You ask the man or woman who traded his family for a woman or a man who said, if you love me, you will. Can I get an amen? Amen. How many believe playing with sin is like playing with fire? Right. Bible tells us that. Proverbs 26:27-28. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can a man go up on hot coals and his foot not be burned? There's always a price to pay when you play with sin. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Satan's not going to stop till he's ruined your life. Amen. Until sin's taken over everything that's value of you, he ain't going to stop. Amen. Till your life's wasted, till you're no use to God, you're broken. And like Delilah, the lies of Satan and sin, they'll kill you. I've got one more point. There's a story, the love story, the story of lies, but now the story of loss. Take time and read 15 through 21. Delilah wore Samson down, and he told the truth. Samson trusted Delilah to a point, but he only got there because he was playing with sin. And no sooner as he fell asleep, what happened? She had a man come in, cut off his hair, and she began to afflict him, if you'll read the story. Afflict him, the phrase one said means that it's to humiliate him, begin to mistreat him. That former strong man was weak. Huh? Was weak. He couldn't defend himself. Bible says that his strength went from him. Delilah lost. Her losses wasn't too considerable. She was already a lost woman. She didn't lose that much. Matter of fact, she gained. She enjoyed the fruits of that silver. How many's with me? For what shall a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Delilah's a good example. How many say amen? For those who put sin ahead of a relationship with God. Now listen, what did Samson lose? He lost everything of value to him. Physically, he lost his freedom. The Bible says in verse 21, he took him and bound him. He lost his vision. The Bible says the Philistines put out his eyes. Why'd they do that, preacher? They didn't want no way for that man to get it. He lost his dignity in verse 21. The Bible says he began to grind. You know, they tell me that grinding was work of women then, or of the lowest slaves. He humiliated the mighty judge of Israel. Strong judge of Israel. How many say all these things is a picture of sin? Amen. When sin comes in and takes trap, and you get in the trap of sin, you know what you'll find? You'll find that you'll be blind. You'll be, well, actually sin will bind you. It'll blind you. And then you'll end up grinding. Somebody say amen. I've heard this story relate, and I'll close. Angie, would you come to piano? I heard this story. People say it's one of the most expensive haircuts.
How many agree with that? It's the most expensive haircut. I'm going to give you a little bit of statistics. Did you know that the average woman spends over $50,000 on her hair in a lifetime? The average woman. Now, I don't know where these statistics come from. I just got them and I thought they were good. I'll read them. Did you know that the average woman spends 2 years of her life washing, styling, and setting her hair? I got a point. Did you know that the average woman spends 41 minutes a day working on her hair? The average woman. Did you know that a recent survey found that during the last month, 54% of the women surveyed got madder at their hair than they did at their husband? Huh? Any of you men ever seen hair brushes? He goes, shoo. Now, listen. Did you know that Americans spend over $7 billion a year on hair care products? $7 billion a year. And that figure don't include the billions spent by Americans every year having their hair cut, colored, permed. It seems to me that our hair is important to us. Would anybody not come to that conclusion for the average American? All right, think about this. If our hair is that important to us, think how important it should have been for Samson. Think how important it, his hair. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. You preacher, get, now listen to me. His hair had never been cut. Never. He was a Nazarite. And a part of his vow, he was required to take, amen, that he stipulated that Samson could not cut his hair. Read Numbers, amen, chapter 6, I believe it is. Samson's hair was that external symbol. Now you listen to me. It was a symbol of his commitment to God. By the way, men, we ain't under a Nazarite law. We under grace. Say amen. But it was a symbol of his commitment to God. It identified him as a man set apart for God's glory and God's use. And as long as Samson's hair was left to grow, it set him apart as a man of God. But when his hair was cut, guess what happened? He lost his power. Bible says the Lord was departed from him. He lost his fellowship and he lost his power with God. Not only that, when Samson allowed his hair to be cut, he crossed that final line with God. Hey, Samson was declaring that he loved Delilah more than he loved God when he allowed it. Somebody say amen. Hey, Joey, you're getting ready to say I do to Christy. Are you? Are you getting ready to say I do to him? Is that right? Let me tell you something. Amen. When you say I do, you need to mean it with everything in your heart. Amen. There ain't no comp out. There ain't no way out. Amen. Same way with you, sister. There ain't no way out of it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hey, when you do, you ought to say I do for life. Somebody say amen. I'm going to give it to you again. The first priority in your life ought to be God. Amen. Not Christy.
That's right. Amen. Preach. That's Bible. Amen.
Christy, your priority ought to be God, not Joy. That's first. You know what your second priority is? Her. Her. How about you, Chrissy? God, then him. Nobody else. God, then him. God, then you, then her. Then you know what your third obligation will be? If you have children, it'll be God, your spouse, then your children.
There ain't nobody no more important.
Amen.
I need some help. If you'll keep that as mindset and keep God in this thing, you'll live happily ever after. How many's with me? I might be long, just bear with me a minute. He was saying he was saying that he loved his life of sin more than he loved his life with the Lord. He allowed that to be taken from him. And by the way, Samson's power did not derive in his hair. Now you think about this. He had long hair because it was a Nazarite vow that set him apart as a man of God. It derived from his relationship with God is where his power lied. All God's people said. His hair was a symbolic of that relationship. Listen, when his hair was cut, his fellowship with God was broken, and he paid the price for it. God left him. And when he did, God took Samson's power away, and he paid. And you will too. You listen to what this preacher prays. You will too. If you want the power of God and prayer life and daily lives gone, hey, and if you want to continue prayer and a daily close, you're going to have to live close. You're going to have to live clean for the Lord. Did you know that his spiritual discernment was gone? The Bible says he woke up and he wist not that the power of God was gone. His spiritual discernment was even gone. He didn't know that the power of God was even off of him. Till he even shook himself. How could Samson, now you listen to me, not know? How could Samson not know that he wist not that the power, how could he not know? Sin has a way of blinding us to the truth of our condition. Sin will make you think you're right and that everybody else is wrong. Sin will cause you to believe that you're always right regardless of what you do. Whoever you hurt, how many believe that? Sin will deceive you. It'll rob you. He lost his ministry. You read. He lost his testimony. I want us to stand at our feet. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. What we do, what we come into the conclusion of this morning about this message, one of the conclusions, is what we do does matter. What we do does matter. And some of us are playing too close to the boundaries. We're playing too close to the edge. We're playing, you know what your weakness is. You know what the devil tempts you with, and you're playing too close to the edge of that. What we do does matter. Why don't we come to the Lord this morning? You know that there's things that the devil's tempted you with, and you know that you walked too close to the edge, and you know that there's things in your life that you should have never let get to where they are right now. Or maybe you want to come and say, Lord, I'm a Christian, but I want to make sure that I stay strong. And I'm a young person, and I'm a young girl, and I'm a young boy, and I want to make sure that when the devil comes to me with a temptation, that I learn to say no, no, no to the devil. There's one on the altar. I wonder if there's any more who would come. Maybe you realize you've lost power with God. You ain't as close to the Lord as you once were. Is there anything in your life that needs to be?
Father, we thank you for the message this morning. Lord, that one was on the altar for you. God, I pray that you'd help us, God, as your children, your people, dear God, to remember the story of Samson and how deceived Samson became, dear God, in playing too close. And Lord, falling too close to sin. God, we learned, Lord, that we don't need to tell the devil nothing other than that we read in your word and you tell us, God, that we read where you told the devil to get thee hence. And I believe that we can tell the devil to get hence. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you've done today. And Lord, continue to speak to each heart and bless our evening service to your glory. And all God's people saying,